I want to invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I think a beloved passage of Scripture to many of us. Our song leader and I, among many others in this assembly, can attest to this statement that all children are different. All children are different. Even siblings, even those who have grown up in the same household. It amazes us as parents and grandparents and even siblings to realize just how different they and we can be. So it shouldn't surprise us that when we read about two sisters in the Scriptures, Mary and Martha, that they're very, very different. It's not that they don't have any similarities. They do have several. And one of them, the greatest similarity, is that they both dearly love Jesus. Jesus is a close personal friend of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he spends time in their home, and he's in their home in this setting that we'll read about in Luke chapter 10. But yet, there's some differences we see in Mary and Martha. Some differences that even Jesus highlights and uses them to teach a lesson, not only for those sisters, but for you and for me. So I want to ask, as we read this passage, that we'll look at Mary and Martha, perhaps their personality, perhaps their way of doing things, but then we'll make application. Let's read together Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." As we think about and study about Mary and Martha, I want to ask us this question this morning. I want to ask you to ask yourself this question as we take a look at these two sisters, as similar, yes, and as different as they are. Are you more like Mary or Martha? Are you more like Mary or Martha? Let's talk about Martha, because I'm thinking a lot of us can identify with Martha. Hardworking Martha, frustrated with her sister who's sitting at Jesus' feet. It all starts when Jesus comes to Bethany. That's the village that they entered. That's where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. And as I said earlier, they were dear friends, and Jesus spent time in their home frequently. It is believed that he probably spent time there in their home before the days before he was led into Jerusalem and later crucified. Dear friends. And hospitality was a special hallmark of this family. And Martha, in particular, is the meticulous hostess. She wants everything just right for their honored guest, their dear friend, but yes, their honored guest, because they recognize Jesus is the Son of God. He is the promised Messiah. So who can blame her that she would want everything just right for her Lord? However, at the end of this passage, we'll see that she gets a mild rebuke from Jesus and a strong lesson about where her real priorities should lie. But yet, we can't fault Martha wanting to make everything just right for her honored guest. And her name is mentioned first. Martha welcomed him into her house, verse 38. And that would indicate, many believe, that she was probably the oldest sibling of that family. And so she bears that burden. She takes on that burden upon herself of being in charge, and particularly on this occasion, making sure that everything is just right for Jesus. And I don't want to be hard on Martha at all, because what Martha is doing is good, isn't it? wanting to make sure everything's just right? Wouldn't you do the same thing? And don't you do the same thing when somebody that you love and are really special to you comes and you want to make sure everything is just right? Martha's doing a wonderful thing. Now I'm going to try to put us in this text a little bit more. I want to share with you some things that I think might have happened, though the scripture doesn't say. Because Martha's all busy getting everything just right for Jesus, perhaps preparing a meal. And here's Mary, her sister, sitting at Jesus' feet. I'm wondering if Martha's in the kitchen and she starts making a little noise trying to get Mary's attention. Like, you need to be in here helping me. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe she clears her throat, trying to get Mary's attention. You need to be in here helping me. And maybe when those things don't work, and Mary just sitting there soaking it all in, that she goes by the door of where Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and tries to get her attention. And maybe if Mary will just look up, she'll see these fingers going, you know, giving her signs. You need to be in here helping me. And maybe she walks quickly by the door trying to get Mary's attention and only her attention and saying, you know, come in here and help me. You've seen that. I know that you have. But we do see that Martha is very frustrated, and it boils up to the point where she just airs her grievances in front of Jesus. But I want you to notice her words again. Right in front of Jesus. Lord, she says to Jesus, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. And in the NIV, it has an exclamation point at the end of that phrase, tell her to help me. And I think that's appropriate because I think she's getting loud about now. Tell her to help me. Now, who is she speaking to? But Jesus himself. Lord, do you not care? And what does that sound like? If you're listening, are you saying that to Jesus? Of course he cares, and she knows that. But she's so frustrated. And she's giving instructions. I kind of think she's barking out orders. Tell her to help me. And she's wrong in her judgment of Mary. I'm thinking she's thinking Mary is just being lazy. She's certainly being neglectful in her duties of helping her make everything just right for Jesus. But I don't want to be too hard on Martha, because I see myself in Martha, don't you? And she's doing a good thing. And Jesus' reply probably startled her. And I think he said it probably gently. But firmly, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Are you more like Martha? Are you more like Mary? Let's think about Mary. Single-minded, devoted Mary. Mary has chosen that good part, Jesus says, which will not be taken away from her. What's Mary doing? Well, we see what Martha was doing for Jesus was good. It was a good thing. And he doesn't rebuke her for doing that good thing. But what he says is that Mary was doing something even better. She had chosen the good part which wouldn't be taken away from her. You see, Mary, by contrast to Martha, is so consumed with thoughts of Jesus, she's completely oblivious to everything else. I'm thinking she doesn't hear the pots and pans clanging, Martha trying to get her attention. She doesn't hear the clearing of her throat, or she doesn't see those shadows going by the door opening over and over trying to get her attention. She doesn't see the fingers pointing, come in here and help me. Because she's just captivated by Jesus, who he is, and what he is saying. Seems to me she's just oblivious to everything else because of her focus on what Jesus is saying. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 12. Another occasion where we see the two sisters and we see some similarities in the personalities, I think we can capture out of that text, or we can imagine from Luke chapter 10. But consider John chapter 12. I want to read with you the first 8 verses. John chapter 12, verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. No surprise there, is there? Martha served. We find that was characteristic of Martha. She was concerned about serving, about doing, about providing, about being a good hostess. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And we're not going to make any parallels to men sitting at the table with their guests and doing nothing. But watch what Mary does. Watch what Mary does. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. And one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii, 300 days' wages, and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Then Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." So even on this other occasion, Martha's busy serving, but Jesus, or Mary, is doing something special for Jesus. 6 days before the Passover, it's just a few days before Jesus is going to be crucified. And I'm wondering, does Mary understand a little bit more than even what the apostles understand about what's going to happen? And if that is true, and you notice what Jesus says of what she's doing is that she has saved this for my burial. But watch what she does again. Look at it closely. She took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Can you envision that scene? Can you imagine what prompted that gift on this occasion? What that tells us about Mary? Wouldn't it indicate to us that she is so in awe of Jesus? She is so thankful for who he is and the words that he has spoken, the words that she has just hung on every word and tried to absorb and sought to understand, perhaps to an even greater degree than others who heard those same words. And she wants to display her love and devotion for Jesus by taking this very expensive oil and anointing his feet, and then not using a towel but her own hair to wipe his feet. And we see Judas objecting. This oil could have been sold for 300 days' wages, almost a year's wages. And all that money could have purchased things to give to the poor. And you'll notice that no one rebukes Judas. We find his motives, John tells us. But no one rebukes Judas for his assessment of the value of this oil. After all, he's keenly interested in financial matters. And I'm thinking, aren't you, that he probably has a good idea of just how much money that oil is worth. But Mary doesn't care. Mary doesn't care what the disciples think. Mary doesn't care about the value of this oil. She wants to honor Jesus. Are you more like Mary or Martha? Without being critical of either, and trying not to look too much into it, I want us to keep asking those questions in some very specific areas. Are we like Mary or Martha in our worship to God? Martha, what would she do in worship? I'm thinking Martha may tend to be concerned primarily with doing the right thing. And that's a good quality, isn't it? Of doing the right thing. She might be concerned, for example, if she were present here this morning, that we be sure to include the five acts of worship that we glean from the New Testament about how the early church worshiped God, and through their singing, through praying, through observing the Lord's Supper, through giving of their means every first day of the week, of teaching and preaching the Word of God. But you see, the danger is if Martha isn't careful, she might tend to keep a checklist. All right, we observed the Lord's Supper, check. We sang praises to God, check. That's the danger that could happen. What about Mary? How would Mary worship God? Wouldn't she do it from her heart? What did she do when Jesus came to her house? And what did she do for Jesus, John chapter 12? But did something that the disciples were critical of, but she was demonstrating openly her love and devotion to Jesus. I'm not saying she'd do anything differently in our worship assembly this morning, but I think her heart would be engaged, don't you? Are we more like Mary or Martha in worship? It's important to worship God through the right avenues of worship. But it's also vitally important that we worship Him from our hearts. Jesus said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And folks, the very next passage, he says, this is one way that makes our worship vain. We can be doing the right things, but not from our hearts. Jesus says it makes our worship vain, empty, meaningless. What about our prayers? How would Martha pray? She might take the Lord's model prayer and be sure that with every prayer, she includes every aspect that Jesus addresses. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a balanced prayer. That's praying after the model that Jesus gave. But would Martha tend to use phrases that have become rather empty? And she just repeats these phrases more out of habit than more out of really meaning. How would Mary pray, do you think? Do you think she would pour out her heart to God? I think so, don't you? I know of someone who said that she was so troubled about some things that she got up out of her bed and onto her knees and prayed to God. When's the last time you got on your knees? You say, well, I can't get on my knees. Maybe it's not physically. Maybe it's in humility. When was the last time your prayer was fervent and heartfelt? And you weren't praying praises or phrases that you've always used, but you were really trying to seek out the words and thanking God that sometimes when we don't have the words, the Spirit intercedes for us. When's the last time you prayed from the heart like that? What about our singing? Are we more like Martha or Mary? Martha's personality, she might be concerned more about the pitch of the song and if it's sung at the right speed. And I heard a speaker say recently that much of the singing in our churches might be described with two words, low and slow. You think Martha would be concerned about that? Perhaps more on the music? Do you participate in singing, even if it's just making a joyful noise? Or do you just listen? How would Mary sing? Wouldn't she sing and make melody in her heart to the Lord? Wouldn't she praise Him for who He is and what He has done and is doing and will do for us? Wouldn't she engage her heart in whether she could carry a tune in a bucket or not? Wouldn't she just vocalize her praise in singing, praise to God? I heard of one Christian who sat in front of another who was singing loudly and way off key. And it was hurting this Christian's ears, and so he turned around to see who was singing so badly. And when he turned around, he saw this older gentleman with tears in his eyes singing praise to God. And he determined, boy, that's beautiful. What about our observance of the Lord's Supper? Do we just go through the motions? Do we just make sure we can check off that checklist? Yes, I observed the Lord's Supper this morning. Without giving a real thought to what it means. Or are we more like what I believe Mary would be? Do we partake of it in sincere and reflective remembrance of Jesus, realizing the great price He paid for us so that we might be saved? And then we're confronted with passages such as this. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And that's a euphemism for dead. You're spiritually sick. You're dead, Paul says. When you don't think about what those emblems represent. So are we more like Martha and just making sure we do it? Or would we be more like Mary, who perhaps had Jesus in mind and perhaps is anointing His body for burial when she takes that expensive oil, pours it on His feet, and wipes it off with her hair? What about our worship? Do we just go through the motions? Or do we engage our hearts in worship and praise to the One who created us and then loved us so much that He gave His Son to die for us so that we might be with Him one day? It's possible to be in the church building this morning and not be worshiping. It's possible to be in this assembly this morning and not really be worshiping. Are you more like Mary or Martha? One other avenue. Are you more like Mary or Martha in service to God? Now again, what Martha was doing was great. Making sure everything was just right for Jesus. And she's worried and troubled about that. And we can understand and we can relate. But then her focus got off kilter. It seems that she took her focus off of Jesus and put it on Mary. Am I right? And her focus was such that here I am doing all this. Mary should be helping me and she's not. And at that point, even her service to Christ became tainted with self-absorption and spoiled by a very uncharitable failure to assume the best of her sister. She turned her attention from Christ and began watching Mary with a critical eye. And what's Mary doing? She's oblivious. The Son of God is sitting before her. She's hanging on every word. She recognizes him for who he is. And she realizes it's more important to sit here and listen to Jesus than it is to prepare a meal for him. And she took opportunities to give of her very best to the Lord. In your service, do you think primarily of yourself? And when you work hard, especially when others don't join you or notice you, do you notice yourself becoming more critical of others, more judgmental? And you begin to assume the worst about the motives of others. There's a legend that is told about Jesus. It's a legend. It's not in the scriptures. But I think it gives us a very powerful message. It's the legend of the stones. Jesus was walking one day with his disciples, and he asked each one of them to pick up a stone to carry for him. And they all picked up a stone. Peter, he picked up a rather small stone. John picked up the biggest one he could find. And Jesus led them to the top of a mountain in this legend, and he commanded the stones to be made bread. And they were all hungry from their travels, and so they were wanting this bread. And so Peter finished his bread quite quickly, and his hunger wasn't quite gone. But John shared some of his large loaf of bread with him to satisfy his hunger. On another occasion, according to this legend, the same Jesus took the same disciples for a walk and said, "Pick up a stone to carry for me." How large a stone do you think Peter picked up? The biggest one he could carry. So big that he got tired carrying it. And they finally come to a river, and surprisingly, Jesus says to his disciples, "Throw the stones into the river." And they all threw their stones into the river. And then they looked at Jesus and began to wait to see what miracle might be performed. And they waited and looked, and nothing happened. And they look at Jesus again, and he asks this question: "For whom did you carry the stone? For whom did you carry the stone? For whom are you working so hard?" Is our focus on Jesus and seeking to please him? Or is our focus on what everybody else ought to be doing in service? Paul said, and it's interesting that this was in the midst of instruction to slaves, Christians who were serving as slaves to literal masters. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men." So may I ask us one more time this morning, are we more like Mary or are we like Martha? Martha was doing wonderful things, but Mary chose the better part, the good part, which could not be taken away from her. My plea for each and every one of us today, so we'll have the heart of Mary and the hands of Martha. If it's your desire this morning to respond to the invitation of Jesus, to express your gratitude for what Jesus has done for you by submitting your life to him, by putting the Lord on in baptism this morning as a penitent believer, or if it's your desire to ask for the prayers of the church to help you to have the heart of Mary in the hands of Martha, If you need to make public confession and ask for the prayers of the church to help get, ask God to help get you back on track, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing?